aller. The way that nature intended it. Don't panic.
When I come to Earth, I listen to BBSRadio.com. Everybody, this is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. The song in the background, nobody has heard of this before because this is the first time I've played it to anyone. It's called Ancient Traveler. I do several of these almost every day. It's like a hobby to me, just creating this stuff. Okay, so that's called Ancient Traveler. I'm not going to put it in the background. Some people, I have, a few people have emailed me, said, don't put music, you know, it's kind of hard to understand, and it's not a music show, it's a gardening show. And a few other people have said they love the interaction of music. So I have a philosophy that if one person complains, I kind of think of just that person's opinion, you know, to some extent. But if two people complain, then I go, okay, I'll make the change. Otherwise, I'll be changing all the time. So I thought I would just do my thing with the music, but not necessarily play it in the background, because it's very hard to just have music in the background, just in the right way. Even for me, when I'm talking, I always remember, forget, because I get into the music, you know. So anyway, you're listening to it. Don't Panic. Oh, that was my little phone. Somebody's emailing me. They agree. You Don't Panic, It's Organic, with your host, Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener. Today, we're going to be talking about bricks, B-R-I-C. It's called B-R-I-C, bricks. No, excuse me. Okay, you got it. B-R-I-X, bricks. Okay, it's got the X got a little thing above it. And If you have an idea what that is, that's good. You can call me. We can talk about it. And if you don't know what it is, that's good, because now you'll find out. And I talk a lot about minerals, okay? And I talk a lot about the soil, and I talk a lot about bacteria and how this recent article I should wrote. I do a column every week, several different places, and this last one I just did was called It's Alive. It's alive, 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 alive. And it's about the mycelium in the soil. In my book, which is, I have a new book out called Don't Panic, It's Organic. And you can get it at any places that books are available. Amazon.com, for example, and Barnes & Noble, and places like that. And, of course, you can always get it from my website, InvisibleGardener.com. Only advantage is getting it from my place, because it might be cheaper, you know, in terms of shipping and whatever else. You know, Amazon, for example, I belong to Amazon Prime. I don't pay much for shipping, so that's a good deal. It would be that I sign my books, okay? And I have two books up there, two versions of my Don't Panic, It's Organic. One is the color version. It's only available through me. You might see it up on places, because I initially, when I had published it, they decided to distribute it, even though I told them I wanted it to be specially done by me. So they immediately put it into their system. Next thing you know, people are selling it for $300 or $400 on, they call it, third-party vendors. People called me up and said, Andy, I'm not going to buy your book for $300. I said, I agree. And that was the color version, because the color version sells for normally for $100. You may say, why does a colored version sell for $100? Well, it sells for $100 because it costs $40 to print, 30 something to print. But after you count shipping and everything, then you end up with $40 for a book that you have to. And if you put it in the market, which is what they did, see, they put it out, to their distribution network. Yeah, it's $100. It's what they end up. Bottom line is, I'm selling them on my website for $55, I think it is. So I make $15 on it. It's reasonable, more or less. You never really make that because you always have other things you got to pay for, and that includes shipping. But yeah, lots of other things make it happen. So, but the thing about that one is the color version of it, and the color version of it is absolutely wonderful. That's why you also get to you get the color version, of course, when you do the PDF version of it, which you can get for $10. You can go to my website and get it there. You can also get it on Kindle. Kindle, I have over 21 books on Kindle. You can type Invisible Gardener, Andy Lopez, Invisible Gardener will come up. Or you can type Don't Panic, It's Organic by Andy Lopez, Invisible Gardener will come up. There's another book called Don't Panic, It's Organic. It's not me. I do not have a cookbook. Here's another song which I am also working on at this moment. And that's called I Have to Go Deeper. Whenever I come to Earth, I listen to bbsradio.com. Seriously. So that one I'm still working on. Most of these songs are anywhere between 5 to say 10, 15 minutes long, and I tend to work on about 4 or 5 of them at the same time. They all have that same heavy-duty beat to them. This is another one. I'm working on one that I was trying to find, which is every once in a while, you want to do something different, and I do stuff different all the time. I'm working on this one, for example. Yeah, I got the beat, huh? I hear you calling. I hear it. I hear you. Okay, it's a gardening show, not a music show. Even though what's going to happen down the road, like for example, next week. So next week we have. I'm getting my little Alexa out, and I go over. Oh, see, that's Alexa. Next week, we have the on. It's going to be actually. June, that'll be June Foist. What I'm doing is I'm going to be doing every week, the big first show of every month. It's going to be Inner Gardening Music Day, okay? Show. So all I'm going to be doing during that time is I'm thinking, for example, I might just actually create some music while we're doing it live. And get you all involved with it if you want to do something like that. It'll be fun. That way we can create some music together, some things together. You can see how I work. Plus, I also introduce you to my music and what the songs are about. Because each song has their own special harmonics to them, and a lot of it takes explanation as to my thinking behind it and how it works and all that stuff. But you'll find it's. Because one I have a person just this I this group called Book of the Month Club.org. They have my book was up for review, and they just recently reviewed it, and they said that My stuff was cutting edge. Okay, they say it was cutting edge, and that it gave me two out of gave me two out of 4 stars. The first part was because that the what they liked the cutting edge part wasn't mentioned until the middle of the book, which they think it should have been mentioned at the beginning of the book. So I didn't get, I lost a star for that one. And then the other one was is that I kept saying throughout the book, don't use chemicals, don't use chemicals. And of course she says, I already know not to use chemicals. You don't need to tell me about it. But at any rate, they call it cutting edge stuff, and that's what I pretty much what I do in the music realm as well. That's what this Bricks is all about here today. So I'm going to talk to you about what a refractometer is, and how you can do a Bricks measurement from it. I have to go over here for a second. So I'm back. I'm back, I think. Did I go out?
Goodbye, Michael. I miss everything.
I'm okay. I don't hear anything. Should I be hearing something in my, I don't know. Hey, Mr. Engineer. Oh, good. Oh, good. Because I can't normally when, see, I've been doing radio shows, it seems like all my life, and I usually hear myself. You know what I mean? It's like you can, I'm not addicted to my voice, but if I can hear my voice, then I'm going cool. I know what, it's like on a microphone, like a regular studio kind of thing. So maybe I'm doing something wrong and I should be, maybe I don't have it set up right. I don't know. One of these days, right? Because I have the headphone on and, but still I don't hear anything. But he says it's good, so I'm going to go with it. So I don't need this headphone on anyway. I was trying to listen to the headphone, then I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't even hear my voice. It was like weird, really weird. I'm gonna have to figure out why my Mac is headphones is not working. I probably have to set it up over here where it says let's see where it says, it should say something about video and audio settings, microphone, speakers. Let's see what it says, speakers. I wonder if I should change it now.
Don't do anything. I'll be right back.
That's default device. Building opticals. No, didn't do that. HDMI. Hello? Okay, I don't hear anything. Hello? Ooh, question mark. Maybe that's typing. Oh, good. Yeah. As long as you say it's good. Maybe at minutes later, the engineer, some other day, he can show me what the heck is going on with my headphone. I should be able to hear what I'm talking, I think. Okay. But anyway, so I'm going to talk to you today about how a little device that I learned about a long, long time ago. See, when I started doing this, I've always been doing this. And so in 1970, when I did my Don't Panic, It's Organic show, it's been going on since I got out of the service. I was a DJ in the Armed Forces Radio. It was called, I have a running nose today for some reason. There's something, sometimes something in the air. There's actually a onion factory not too far from here, depending on which way the wind is blowing and what, when they're into, making stuff. And it really gets your nose. So anyway, I started 1970. I did Armed Forces Radio. You're listening to KNDY, home of the good guys. How's my voice? And it's 1968, 1969, 1970. I did my I got out of the service, and I started doing my thing, and I started doing a radio show then. I wasn't paying for it then. It was really cool. I got to go to the station and do stuff. And so I started doing I started Invisible Gardener then. See, I don't know if I went over this for you guys before, but I started a church. I'm actually an ordained minister, and from there I did. It's a charitable, religious, and education organization. So the charitable is you always give, The educational aspect of it is what I'm doing is started the invisible. I actually started the list, the Living Institute of Survival Technology, and I started the Invisible Gardener. That was in 1970, and so I started talking about, what is it that makes you healthy? think about what makes people healthy, and then you think about what makes plants healthy, and I came down to the conclusion that it's the soil that makes everything healthy. Healthy tops soil, living soil, that's the key to everything. And what's in the soil? What does the soil do? What's going on, right? Because you just dump some fertilizer down, and that's all you need to do to feed your plants. But it's not like that at all. And I have another show called The Body in the Garden, where I invite doctors on my show. We can talk about the relationship between the biomeme and the microbe, the microbial life in the soil, as opposed to the microbial life in the stomach. And one of the things I talk about all the time is that we evolved from the soil. We evolved from the mycelium in the soil. The mycelium was millions and millions of years older. I sure hope this is coming cool, Mr. Engineer, because I can't hear myself, even though I don't mind speaking to myself. I love speaking to myself. I'm my favorite fan. If anybody calls, you'll let me know. By the way, I should be mentioning something, but I forgot what I should be mentioning at all. It has to do with how you call in. You can use Skype to Skype in at BBS Radio. NP. I'm not really put well together today. that's what happens when you get real busy. I'm doing like 300,000 things at the same time. I think it's all good. I like to get my headphone to work, though. I really like the idea of listening to what I'm saying, because otherwise, I don't. Okay, well, as long as it's fine. Anyway, I'm not used to it. So, when I started talking about the what makes it healthy is basically, and this is logical to me, and it's not, obviously, but it's not obvious to everybody, is that something's alive in the soil. There's something going on in the soil that's doing something, and it's something that's alive. And one of the things that, as you probably don't know, but you have the really good idea that I'm really, really spacey. Space out character, and that I'm out of it, and that should be tied up behind, just put away. But actually, that's the way geniuses are. I am a genius in a lot of things. That's just the way I am. And so I started talking about what the soil does, the microbes in the soil do. And it turns out that there's a certain type of microbe that we want, a certain type of organism that's the whole behind everything. And the way I learned about it is because I used to, and I still do, have an affinity for mushrooms, for all types of mushrooms, not just the magical mushrooms, but mushrooms themselves. You can eat mushrooms for beneficial health, for healing. Lots of things are good. You can get from all types of mushrooms from around the world, and I'm really into that. And I hope to eventually have my own place where I would go back to growing them, because I can grow all kinds on the. I just need a little piece of land, and you can grow all kinds of mushrooms. As a matter of fact, Mr. Engineer is a mushroom grower himself. Wait, I let me, Engineer, say something to the mic to me. If you're listening, go ahead, say something so I can hear your voice. Maybe. Oh, good.
Hello,
Good. So the microphone is working. I'd like to hear something else. See, today, thank you, Annie. You grow much. Could you put yourself on the air too, please?
I can indeed.
Okay, I'm waiting. I'll wait. Are you there
I am here, yes,
yet?
indeed.
So you were hearing me about I was talking about mushrooms, right?
Okay. Sorry about that. I was just sticking on some headphones for you in the audience. Didn't want you to get any feedback there. All right, let's chat, my friend.
Yeah, you grow mushrooms, right?
I do. I'm a mushroom grower, not the psychedelic kind. Although, you know, I've been actually wanting to. I just never got around to it. Never. I don't feel
how
the need
have
to.
How long have you been growing the mushrooms? So, what did you?
Well, 4 years ago, I started growing several types of mushrooms. There are about 11 different types. They're
for
more of the
benefits.
Pardon me?
For beneficial benefits, healing benefits, because they're very good for that.
Well, true. It depends on the mushroom, like
well,
the chaga mushroom. Pardon?
You just grow them just to eat them then?
Yeah, I'm growing white shiitake, chicken of the woods, portobellas, blue oysters, king oysters, turkey tail, lion's mane.
Well, listen, I started growing into mushrooms. Really?
You did,
early,
huh? All,
yeah, really
all you need
early
is
in
very
my
little
life.
Sunlight and a little bit of shit.
Really early in my life, I got, because I grew up in Cuba and Puerto Rico. Those are really good mushrooms places.
You know, I love some of the countries in Europe and the way they make their mushroom dishes. Oh my God. But I'm a mushroom lover though.
Right. So what happened was in Miami, Florida, it's actually Hialeah, Florida, where I grew up. My mom's Puerto Rican, my dad's Cuban. And one of the things that, and of course there was like Homestead was a cow country, you know, a cattle country. In other words, it was just mushrooms growing all over the place there because it rained so much all the time. Right?
Right.
And I used to go, when I grew up, when I made compost, right, because this was like in 70, when I got in 70, but when I was a kid, before I went to service, it was 1955, 1956. I started my business around that time. That's how I got the name Don't Panic, It's Organic. I didn't get the name Invisible Gardener until 1970. When I got out of the service.
That's one of the finest names. I'm a name guy. I really am. Yeah. It's all in the name. And that's profound. That was just a home run.
It really is. And I got that in 1970. And at that time, by the way, you ever hear of Finhorn?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's called Finhorn. It's a place in Ireland. And they're into the elemental spirits. They're like a druid place. People go there to worship the elementals, you know, the tree ants and stuff like that, the tree beings, you know, which is kind of hip to it because when you know the name Invisible Gardener, really that's what it implies. It really means, you know, like look around.
You've got fairies in your garden.
Yeah, look around you and you'll see that the energy.
we're big into that here in California.
Yeah, oh, shit.
We got lots of fairies in our garden.
Oh, yeah. You know, because I just got invited to, it's called Fairy Woodlands, to go live up there in Oregon.
Uh-huh.
They make fairy houses. But with the name Invisible Gardener, I tend to drift off into all kinds of variations of that because I started in school, went to school, University of Florida. And at night, it's the only time I had time, so I would go out and do my gardening. That's how I got the name Invisible Gardener.
I love it.
It has to do with things that I do that you set up in nature that work, and you don't have to really do like compost. You don't have to be there all the time turning.
I'll just send you some fairy moss. I actually grow it.
Cool.
I grow seven kinds of moss just because it's weird, and I'm a weird guy, and I have odd habits. But
I like making those different kinds of fairy structures and stuff.
I'll send you some fairy moss.
I do dowsing, and I'm an amateur gemologist, and I'm an amateur rock hound. And you should see the stuff I have all over boxes I got.
Oh, we'd be great neighbors. We'd get along famously. I've got boxes of rocks as well. Boxes and boxes.
It's like 40 million years old, and I got gems. I used to have a little shop where I would do the stone polishing and the grinding lapidary work. And I really miss that stuff because I'm like, being an aquarian, you would think the guy's really spaced out. He's not, you know, but not really. I like doing this stuff. You know, I have a couple of different facets to me. So, wait a second. I can keep talking, I guess, forever. Like I said, I have different facets, different things. But what I was talking to you about is that when I started, you know, in Hialeah, Florida, I used to do the garden for my where we lived, right? My parents' house. And so I ended up doing neighbors, next door neighbors and everybody in the neighborhood pretty much. Okay. I did everybody's garden for around the neighborhood. It was like 150 customers I'd walk over 100, not at one time that I went through. I was thinking about it the other day. I said, no, I didn't have them all at one time. But oh, I started in the sixth grade to the ninth grade. You think about that. So by the ninth grade, I had like five, I would go to about five a week. It was really mellow. But the main thing that I learned about all this was mushrooms, because a lot of these farms that I would go to get the chicken manure or the horse manure or this manure, there'd be tons of mushrooms growing on the manure. And I would go, they would say, don't eat that. You're going to die. It's poisonous, all this kind of stuff. I was okay. I don't. But I realized that is one of the mushrooms are one of the keys to tell you that mycelium is growing there. And mushrooms are all over the world, you know. There are mushrooms everywhere. You know what they do? Hello?
What's that?
What do your mushrooms do?
Well, they sit there a lot. They're quiet. They don't misbehave, and they taste delicious.
So what happens is that the way the system is made up is interesting in terms of minerals. Recently, there was an article that said scientists have realized that life started off from the minerals, because chunks of minerals, bacteria will live on the minerals and transform the minerals into food, and there so the protozoans and all that stuff started growing. And it's all about minerals, and it's all about how you get the minerals. And that's what the key is to the mushrooms, because the mushrooms tell the mycelium is there. And the mycelium, what the mycelium does, and I don't know if I talked about it before, it takes carbon out of the air or out of the soil, makes it into a carbonic acid, and uses that to burn up the minerals and dissolve them into a form that then gives to the plants and the trees, which then and then we eat it. One way or another, we get it. We can't eat it directly, but we will eat it sooner or later. That's the whole thing, is all about minerals. So I thought you would be interested, because you're growing the shrooms, and that means that you must have the mycelium. You're not a chemical, right? You can't do this stuff chemically. You have to do it organically, right?
That's absolutely right. There's no chemicals. I won't allow any chemical on the property. It's just my brother and I are pretty forceful that way.
What kind of mycelium? Do you have any idea of your mycelium on your soil? Do you throw stuff away around the
Yeah,
property?
I just throw, when I'm growing the mushrooms and I'm, I guess you would say, not just growing them, when I'm inoculating and allowing the mycelium to grow, once it's done and I've got, and I do a unique way of doing it. I take huge plastic tubs. I stick a little tape on the dowels around the log after I've wet it for 3 days, stick it in these huge things with soil on the bottom, and
Yeah.
then I put plastic over it, and it just, inoculates the entire log very, very
Yeah.
quickly. I
Yeah.
mean, very quickly. And then I throw out all the soils later once the log's been fully, inoculated. I just pull it out, all the soils, and I start throwing it into the garden areas.
Is
And mushrooms are growing all over our yard. I mean,
your
everywhere. We
area
don't
up
know
there a
what kind they
paradise?
are. We won't eat them, unless we know exactly what they are. But there's all sorts of mushrooms growing all over our property, and the
Is
plants seem to
your
love it.
place there in paradise? Isn't it a dry environment, or is it you have your own little weather thing going there? Because
It's nestled in here in a 10-mile stretch. It really has its own weather, because it's snowy and icy when you drive up a couple miles. And it's, you start getting into the Oroville regular California weather as you go
I
down the mountain a
remember
couple miles.
paradise, and I remember that it was. I remember there was different types of trees going around, but
Oh yeah,
I
it's
didn't know if it was, moist enough. So do you? What do you do? Put them inside like a little shed? Isn't it dry? Isn't the environment? Because I'm used to growing like in Florida. It kind of rains on a regular basis, or Puerto Rico, and those places rain on a regular basis. So the mushrooms really like to grow. I don't think they like a really dry air environment, right? Hot.
You're correct. It's tough here. You can't grow them outside. You must have humidity chambers and a
Aha.
big garage that's a cold one. Keep it under 65 degrees, never over 75. And you
Right.
must have that sort of facility. I actually do, which is
Right.
nice.
Cool, because where I live, like I said, where I grew them before, Well, Homestead is like it rained half, three quarters of the year down there, you know, and the moisture, the temp. I mean, the coldest it ever got was maybe 72 or something, 70, right? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right? You know, and so, and then of course, forget about Cuba and Puerto Rico. It's like you spit mushrooms are coming up everywhere all the time, you know? One of the things I done that, I used to do was in Florida because I, you know, in like in your case, your soil must be probably doing really well then, right? Build up over all the years.
Yeah,
You got a lot of
yeah,
a lot of earthworms.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Billions.
Do you know
We're
what bricks
so
is?
many, we got moles coming
Do
and
you know
moles
what
everywhere. They're coming
you
after the worms and they just love it. It seems we've created a mole farm.
Do you know what bricks is?
Pardon me?
Bricks, BRIX, what I'm talking about today. Do you know what that is?
I don't.
So that you don't know what a
Oh, please
refractometer is
explain it.
either.
Please explain it again. I'd love to
You
hear it
don't know what
again.
a, you don't know what a refractometer then is either, huh?
No, I don't.
Because yours is a perfect example of a case that I would say, look, get yourself a refractometer and do some readings. You'll be surprised, and then do some studying and see what other people's readings are in terms of, for example, if you know somebody else is growing, but you know it's like so-so growing, but or even the conventionally grown, chemically grown people, you can test them, and you're going to find that yours are going to be. You probably have good fruit and everything, right?
Pardon me, say that again?
You're going to tell me your fruit is amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
I rest my case. I rest my case. And so the refractometer. See, when I first got a hold of the refractometer, was invented back in the 30s or 20s or something. It was invented by a scientist who also happened to be a cook. You know, you never go shopping. You ever go shopping with your mom? Your mom would take a bite of something, and the lady says, "Well, you just bought that," right? But now they do. They give you a slice of this. Here, taste this, right? So if it's real sweet, you go, "Oh, very great. I'll take it," right? Right?
Right.
Yeah. So this guy says, "Well, there has to be some way to measure this." So he, as a scientist, he learns. Yeah, refractometer is really used to measure what the stars are made out of, what elements, what materials the stars are by the bending of the light. It looks through it. You look at a star, and it'll break up into different colors, and you can tell exactly, not precisely, but you get a really good idea of the elements that that star is made up of. Okay. Right?
Yeah.
And there are refractometers that are hundreds of thousands of dollars, which that's what they do. You can look at a moon or other objects, and they can tell you exactly down what it's made of. Plus, they look at it. It can be computer rigged now, so it can look into different spectrums. But that's and then you can also get also what they do with a refractometer, and what here's where bricks come in, because you're not measuring bricks and stars. See, you're measuring elements and stuff like that, but it bends it. But the refractometer also will take the let's just say that the way that a refractometer, what people do use bricks, so the main thing is they're using it is in the wine industry, in the juice industry. So if you make wine, obviously you don't make wine at home, do you? Or beer? Hello?
Yes, I'm here with you, my friend.
Do you make wine or beer at home?
I have 10 beer making or 5 10-gallon beer making glass jugs with the containers to also ferment, and I have made a lot of beer. One wine in my life. It was a loquat wine. I couldn't find a
Oh,
recipe for it.
don't they ever tell you to use a refractometer? Or don't you when you get the beer kit? Isn't it like a beer kit? They tell you to use a refractometer to test the beer and the stuff.
Hold on, hold on. I will be right back with you. I will be back in about 5 minutes. I'll be right back.
Okay, okie dokie. This is called Night Winds. I do all kinds of music, but they all have a meaning to it, in that they have different certain tones that I will play throughout the music, and that these are tones that your body listens to. Like this one here, see? This is called Night Winds. So I'm also working on a couple other songs at the same time. This one's called Cosmic Credit Card. That's right, Cosmic Credit Card. This has some Tibetan bells in it. They're a certain frequency. And your skin, this is for your skin to listen to. And it's binaural. That means that you should use headphones because one part of your brain is listening to it, another part is listening to something else. That's how we train your brain to work as one. So next week I'll be creating one from scratch for you guys. These are all available on SoundCloud, for example. Plus, you can for $2 a month, you get the podcast subscription to it. You get every song, which you can then download. Some of which I hope you'll like and use because they're meant for healing, not just you, but you can play it in the garden. Play it to your birds, play it to yourself. It heals your brain. So let me talk to you more about the refractometer and about bricks. So if you were to use a refractometer, the way it's done now is that they use it for juice. So you have orange juice, for example, or making wine or beer. You take a little bit of the juice, you put it on the refractometer, and it gives you a reading. It depends upon the type of refractometer you have. It will be dependent upon the type of reading you'll get. In other words, the normal type is 0 to 32, but you have a refractometer that has to do for beer and wine and other alcohol type of things. And so there'll be different. So the one you want starts at 0, goes up to 32. And basically the way it works, you'll see a vertical line and series of horizontal line. Each horizontal line will have numbers to with them, and the numbers will, depending upon the type you got, whether it's at 0, you know, the 1 to 32, it'll break down to levels. So the 0 to 32 is the one I prefer to use because that falls within the range that I need. I don't need to know too much more about it since we don't use, when I first heard about it early on in my career, because I've always been interested in minerals, I've always been interested in figuring out ways to determine the actual amount of minerals you need. And there's always as a scientist, I love tools, and I also love explaining how the tools work. And also the tools further explain how I work. Because if I say this is going to happen, I don't have any proof. But if you have a tool that says lab, yeah, see? Okay, so the refractometer is a way that people use to really measure the bricks level. And bricks is a measurement of sugar. That's why you do the wine, right? That's what you do with beer. And so there's a way that the refractometer would tell you how much sugar you have in these juices, right? The wine wants to be at a certain level, it's too sweet, no good, right? Same thing with beer. But in our case, we want to, farmers do is they measure the juice of the orange juice, right? Or for wine, you know, or they measure the juice of, and plus also the fruit. So you want the fruit to be certain taste, right? To be sweet, and that's a good way to determine the one level of the of bricks, and that would be the fruit, okay. And so that's what normally you use. But to me, that's like I teach a lot about the law of cause and effect. So this particular measurement of the fruit is the effect. Right, this is the effect. This is what you get, good fruit, right? Okay, so, and there are all the different types of effects, but, so what it comes down to is the cause, and the cause basically is that you have minerals. Now, the more variety of minerals you have, the better. You actually need 96 different minerals in your body. Same thing with plants, same thing with insects. Not a coincidence, we all need these minerals, some to different degrees than others. And you can't eat the minerals directly. Remember, I was talking about microbes and what microbes do with minerals. And that's the key to it. That's their job, is to take minerals in whatever form they can get it and transfer it into a form that the plants can eat. And these plants will in turn get eaten by other things, which eventually get eaten by us. That's how we get the minerals.
And I apologize. I'm going to have to let you carry on for a bit. There's
I'm
a little
carrying on.
emergency. Just keep going. I'm listening
Oh,
to you,
okay.
but I just won't be able to join you. I do apologize.
Oh, that's okay. No problem. I hope everything's okay. All right. So all it has to do with minerals. And it's really good that you have a tool to measure minerals, because a long time ago I also realized that not only is a measure of bricks is a measurement of sugar, but it's also the measurement of mineral levels. And then one day I read a lot, and one day I started reading somebody's book that said the very same thing in terms of minerals, and reading the refractometer mineral levels. And one of the things that was curious about what he said was essentially that it's called the fuzzy line rule. So basically, when you look at a refractometer, you put something down the juice, for example, you'll see a top white and a black bottom. Where they meet, and you look where that corresponding number is, that's the Brix level. Black below, white above. So the sharpness of that line, the difference between the, what's going on here? The difference between the white top and the black bottom, that line right there, the sharpness of it means this is more concentration of a certain mineral, right? The fuzzier it is, don't go in there. Come on out of there. Come on. My cat is going around. And if she goes in the wrong place, she'll turn off the computer. So that's why it's called the fuzzy line rule, because the fuzzy, what you want is a really fuzzy line between the black and the white. So it's a fuzzy. The fuzzier it is, the more minerals. Ah. So I came to the conclusion that the higher the bricks, the higher the minerals level. See? So that's one way you can look. You look at your, it doesn't tell you the actual minerals. If you want to do that, you have to have it tested. There are lots of ways you can have it tested, whether test. Send the sample in of the actual plant to be broken down to minerals, or you can send the sample of the fruit or the juice to be broken down to what minerals are there. Lots of labs do that. But here's a really easy, simple tool that tells you, gee, this plant has a really nice high Brix level, therefore it has a really nice fuzzy line there. That means I am doing everything perfect, almost perfect to it, to give it all the minerals that it needs and all the right proportion that it needs. Because the key here to the pest and disease control is the minerals. And here's another thing that I, these are things that I understand, and that therefore I pass it on to you. How I came to this conclusion is simple, because that's how what I under, my understanding of it is. So here's what I understood this basically to means, and I studied it, and I reached a conclusion over many, many years of this, is that essentially here's what happens. So you have, we're talking about Brix level, the measurement of sugar. So did you know that if you use a chemical fertilizers have high nitrogen, okay? So if you give a plant a dose of high nitrogen, you're going to raise the Brix level temporarily, raise the Brix level, and then afterwards, it's like how you get drunk, it'll come down lower than it was before. Because remember, it also measures the levels of sugar. So when you give a plant high nitrogen, it grows really fast. It produces a lot of sugar for it to grow really fast. And because it's mineral deficient in certain areas, eventually it will have couple of things happening. First of all, if it's food, it won't be as good to food because it won't be minerally dense. Secondly, it'll be attacked by pest or disease of one type or another because it's missing some trace minerals. So that's one of the things about using chemical fertilizers, okay? And there's lots of things about it that I can eventually over time teach you. But Here's the thing that's really interesting that I have concluded, and you're not going to find anybody else telling you this other than me. And if they do, tell me, hey, Andy Stanley is saying to you, you should connect with him. Because I love to, because I don't really create anything out of, nothing's ever created nor destroyed. So I'm pretty sure that knowledge is, can be obtained from a lot of different ways. But so here's what I found out. So what is the difference between a plant that you give chemical and it's growing real fast and produces a lot of sugars and gets a high Brix level for a little while, then from a plant that's grown organically, it grows as nor whatever rate it wants to grow at, that it's supposed to grow at, and that it produces a higher Brix level that doesn't not come down afterwards, that stays up there. What's the difference between those two? And what's the difference to the bug? How what does the bug care about one as opposed to the other one or the disease? And here's what I figured out. And I'm not going to tell you. Okay, so that's it for the show today. We'll be back after sorry, I couldn't help myself. That was I forgot. What were we talking about? My computer my music program died on me. It couldn't handle the whatever was going on here, you know. That was called Winged Horses. Trust me, I do a lot of these. Okay, so this is what I found out. Okay, so yeah, we're talking about sugar, right? So there has to be a difference between the sugar that this plant produces, right? That the chemically conventionally grown one produces, right? Then the sugar that's produced by the organically grown one. Now, what is that difference? And I will tell you right now, okay? Okay, so the sugar produced by the conventionally chemically grown, it's called a simple carbohydrate. Simple carbohydrates. Simple carbohydrates is the energy food for insects. They love that stuff. That's what they use for their energy, right? You got it? Now, what does the sugar produce? What's the type of sugar that the organic plant produces? It's called complex carbohydrates. Ta-da! It just so happens the insects cannot digest this stuff. They don't like it. So Mother Nature put into it a very simple system that protects you, because if you protect your plant from the insects, you're also going to be protecting from a lot of the soil, of the diseases. And speaking of the soil, if you're grown organically, there's a big difference between the organically grown plants and the conventionally grown plants, aside from the Brix level and all that stuff, is the soil. Because the conventionally grown one with the chemicals, you have killing off the beneficial microbes, the beneficial bacteria, the mycelium in there, not doing their job. Nobody there. You have the bad guys. The good guys and the bad guys don't live in the same place. The good guys don't do the trace mineral stuff for you. Okay? That's not their job. The good guys is the trace mineral. That's their job. The mycelium's job is to take, well, that's not their job. The mycelium is the best gardener. The mycelium is really the beginning and the end of the food chain. We're just part of the food chain. When we die, what do you think eats us? Okay, that's what mushrooms do. They're happily growing amongst the stuff that we're growing. They produce. This is what they produce, right? The mycelium produces the mushroom, saying, "Yeah, that was good food." So it produces the complex carbohydrates as opposed to simple carbohydrates. It keeps the insects away, and that's the key to, okay, so you have like, anything, you name the disease or pest, whether it be in plants or animals, and you'll find that that's, we'll talk about plants now. I'm not really sure about the animals. It could be the same thing, animals has slightly different, like us, for example. I think we produce complex carbohydrates. I'm not really sure. I'm not a doctor, but I know we need trace minerals. I know we need all these different types of trace minerals, every single one of them in the right proportion. Even the stuff you think is lead, cadmium, mercury, those things, believe it or not, we need in the right, just the right tiny micro, super microscopic amount. Okay? So that's a difference right there. And so learning to use a simple tool like a refractometer And by the way, there are different types. I have a refractometer here that's was given to me by the Leica company. It's the same people that make the camera. And at that time when I was given to me, I think it was around $7,000, this one here. And then but I have one that's $35, and I have one that's $100, and I have another one that's $300. The $300 one is a digital version. They're kind of fun to use, a digital version, because it has a little place you put the fluid in and it gives you the reading. But they're really very, very fussy and really very hard to. You can't use them outside in the full sun, for example. You can't get them wet. You have to keep changing the battery. You have to, of course, clean them. That's something you should do. But it really is very sensitive and very delicate to use. But $300 is not entirely, if you want to spend the money. But the $35 one was just as good as the $100 one. Seriously, I bought it for wine. I mean, for beer, making beer, the $35 one, and gives me the same identical reading as the $100 one, as the $300 one, as the $7,000 one. They all get more or less. It should be identical. And so it's a simple thing you can get, and you start. There are lots of books out there as to. Because one of the way that gardeners, what they do is you take the Brix level of your vegetables to see what type of minerals you got in your vegetables. Or, for example, your tomato plant. For example, your tomato. Well, the tomato, I do the tomato plant as well. Because what I started doing as a kid, I don't remember when, maybe not as a kid, but when I started my own gardens before in the early 70s, I would take the tomato juice, tomato, squeeze the juice onto a refractometer or the orange juice or whatever fruit I was eating. And then I actually started doing, you can actually do the leaves of the plant, because if you can measure the juice, you can also measure the actual Brix level, the mineral level of the plant, because that's what you do. You take the leaves, the different parts of the plant you can take from leaves to the flowers. And the way you do that with the leaves or the flowers, you take a little motor and pistol. I have a little glass one, a little motor on it, and you want to have some type of, you want to have distilled water. You want to take a drop or two of distilled water. You take the leaf, for example, to cut a little piece of leave. You don't touch it with your hand because you have your oils who affect it, but you take it with the tweezers. You put it in your scissors. You cut a couple of pieces into a couple of pieces. You put it in a motor. You add a few drops of water. You turn it on. You get this juice, this green chlorophyll juice. That's what you put down on the refractometer, and it gives you the reading. And when you first start to use it, you're going to have to learn what type of readings are good and what types of reading are bad. And the way I learned is through experience. Is that, for example, I would have 10 tomato plants. I would label them Johnny, Billy, George, Julie, whatever, give them names. I hate to give them numbers, but names is really cool. And do a one leaf, maybe one part of a leaf once a month. And I would write down when it was. And after a while, over a period of time, you would understand the level that. And also, too, there are different varieties would be different Brix levels. So it gets to be, if you have different types of tomatoes, they're all going to be slightly different Brix level. They're all not going to be the fruit, for example, it's all not going to be the same Brix level. Same thing as a plant, it's not going to be Brix level. Same thing with lettuces and all types of other plants. The different varieties would tend to have different, slightly Brix, different Brix levels. So you want to get a general feeling of what area the Brix level your plants should be. For example, tomatoes should be like 28. 24, 25, 26, 27, 28 would be really cool level. 20 and the 32s, it would be even better, but 28 to 32 is really nice, for example. Citrus, the orange juice should be like, the actual plant, again, is 28. 28 is a great place for the Brix level of the citrus to be. I have tested citrus as at 10. I'm going, oh boy, right? Or 12. And it may even look good because we use chemical fertilizer. They may look good, but they're not really. They're stressed out because they're missing the trace minerals and stuff. And on my website, there is a free Brix ebook that you can download, which gives you the Brix level of many different types of vegetables and many different types of fruit trees. This has been done by folks been doing this for a long time, good old boys and farmers, and they make these information free. So I'm passing it on to you. And then you'll get to learn what brick stubble you're doing. After a while, you stop using the book because you get really good at understanding what the levels, for bricks levels. You only use the bricks level. For example, I only use the bricks levels, bricks and refractometer on new customers, not so much on my regular gardens anymore because I don't need to do a bricks level thing with them all the time. There are other ways, other tools, other ways you can tell that plants are doing well. But that's the basic idea of what bricks is and what refractometer is, a tool you can use, and how you can get it. eBay, for example, Amazon would be pretty cool. And you can always email me, andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. Go to my website, invisiblegardener.com. You're welcome to join. We can start talk about refractometers. How do you? Because you can also measure the grass. You can measure roses. All kinds of stuff. You just have to learn what their Brix level should be for a normal plant. See when it's healthy. Okay. So I think that's the show for today. Am I right, Mr. Engineer? Do I have more time? What you say? Huh? Hey, babe. Hey, man. What you say, man? What's going on? Let's see. I have. I don't see anything. I'm back. I'm back.
I'm back, baby.
So are we done?
I apologize for that. Sometimes here in the studio there's emergencies, and we had an equipment failure. And I had to replace a part, a very large part. It was a little daunting there. Touch and go.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad everything's okay, and I guess my time is up, no?
Yeah, you can end gracefully as you choose. You know, you're the master.
Yeah, I'll end gracefully, and we'll get together again soon, okay? I'm working on, I have your email, so I can, I don't, you know, I send you email all the time, so it's, you know, what I have to, you want me to send it to, through your, no, I was supposed to go to this, we transfer, yeah. I'll let you know. I'll send you an email through the WeTransfer.
You're fabulous.
Cool,
thank
I
you,
know.
Sir.
I, by the way, I have a friend who's does voiceovers, really, really good.
Right.
So I wanted, I don't know, he was supposed to, it didn't happen, but he was supposed to call in today.
Well, you know, that's pretty naughty of him not calling in.
There were two people that were supposed to call in today, and one of them, he has a great voice. And my idea is that I would be playing the music and get him to say, I listen to bbsradio.com. Or say, you know, when I come to Earth, I listen to bbsradio.com. See?
I love it.
That way they would be taped right there. You would have taped it, but he didn't call. And I think maybe, you know, something happened, or maybe he thinks I was supposed to call him. Communication. But you would think if he wants work, because here's the thing. You would love his voice, and you can use him in terms of, because one of the things is I'm not the best voice, but I can do the music. If I can get some really other voices behind it, I can tape it onto him, and you got some really nice hot stuff.
I love it. Now you do realize we're kind of gabbing away about this, but we're live. We're still live.
That's fine with me. Thank you guys for listening to my show, and we should be off the air now. But this is what happens when you have, you know, we do stuff.
I would have loved to chat more with you. I mean, I really love your program. I love your audience. I love the whole feeling of your program and the way
you
portray it.
Did you buy my book? You say yes, right? You went out and bought my book, right?
I actually have not bought your book. No. But
so
between
depressed.
You and I, if
I'm depressed.
It's unlikely because I don't read books anymore.
Well, just buy it and donate it to the library.
There you go. Well, I actually have a library. We have all these publishing houses that for some reason think we want every single book that they publish. And so I get loads and loads of all these brand new books from several
Wait,
publishing
you have a
houses.
Library?
It's weird. I don't even know what to do with them all.
You have a library?
Oh, it's massive. It's
a real
stunning.
Library, like public library, or
well, no,
library?
But I mean it's vast. It's vast because just everybody sends us their book, and between that and all the publishing houses, I mean, just boxes and racks. And
so are you saying I should send you my book then?
I'll what add happens? It to the collection.
Do you, yeah, you're like 1,000 years, 10,000 years from now, you'll be the only place you can get these books, right? Are we still on the air?
We are still on the air. You bet we are.
Holy shit. Anyway, so listen, I'll get together the video aspect of it because I'm working on doing EcoCat, getting EcoCat back on the air. He's been on vacation long enough.
All right.
Right? And so like I said, I have to figure out a way to connect him up to you guys so I can do it. We should just get together and have EcoCat come back on again, okay?
Sounds great. Yeah, well, I mean, we have one animal called bok choy, and she comes on every now and again on Win Free's show. So.
What, it's an animal?
I think it's a dolphin named bok choy.
It's a video?
No, but it'd probably be a pretty awesome video.
Okay, man. Say
all
goodbye.
Right, I'll let you close.
Say goodbye to everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Have fun. And to your audience, thank you for allowing me to be a part of this for just a moment.
Okay, bye now.
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.